In your Bibles, stand with me if you found it this morning. I'm glad that you're here, and thank you, Brother Dan, for that announcement. I'm honored to be able to every week come and talk to you from the Word of God, but let me just say this. If they shut churches down over this virus, they can't shut the radio down. And it may be something, there's a lot of people who are listening right now. We're welcoming our radio audience who are listening. But I want the radio crowd to know there's a really good crowd in here right now. And there are at least 85,000 to 25,000 people in here. It doesn't really matter, does it? They can't see it. But there's a lot of people here today. And to be honest with you, I didn't know what to expect. Because I thought, man, Corona mania has taken over, and you came to church today, which I think is a good decision, and I'm glad that you're here this morning, and we'll be careful, but we'll also maintain course and stay the course. I'm glad you're here this morning. Let's read the words of Scripture, beginning with Jesus' words here in Luke chapter 21, verse number 5. The Bible says, "And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with godly stones and gifts, he," meaning Jesus, "said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come, in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign shall there be that these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions," say the next three words out loud with me so our radio audience can hear it. Ready? "Be not terrified." Say it one more time. "Be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony." Notice verse 14. "Settle it therefore in your heart." I like that phrase. That's an encouraging phrase in Scripture for us this morning. "Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which shall all your adversaries not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed, both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, well then know that desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in the Judea flee to the mountains, and then them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereunto, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Notice verse 25, he suddenly skips ahead in future history, rather, ahead in history and to the future. And he says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." You're going to like verse 28. "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look" where? "Up." The Bible says, "And lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Father in heaven, I pray that you please bless the reading of your word today and the message this morning. May it be from your heart and not from mine. May it just be myself as a messenger and not as the preacher today. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would minister to everyone who's here, to each person who listens by way of radio right now, Lord, or on the internet right now. We thank you for their attendance in this place and in our assembly, wherever they are. I pray, God, that during this time that we have together for the next few moments, that you would calm our hearts and our minds, that you would maybe today, if there are those who are, would say we're not fearful, well, Lord, then I pray that you would settle our hearts and our minds on some truth today and teach us what we need to hear and what we need to know, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I want you to know a little bit of background of the scripture today. You might have been reading with me in verse number 9 and verse 10 and 11, where it says things like, you'll hear of wars and commotions, and to be not terrified by these things. And then he says in verse 10, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And then you might have read along with me in verse 11, that great earthquakes shall take place in diverse places, that famines and pestilence, that's what this thing is we've got going on right now, pestilence or disease, if you will, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. You might have read along with me and thought, wow, that was prophetic, but I want you to know that Jesus was actually talking about something that has already taken place in history. In AD 70, as we read in verse 5, the Bible says that Jesus, as everyone was talking about the beauty of Herod's temple, you'll remember that Solomon's temple was torn down, and then in Jesus' day, Herod said, I'm going to build this great giant structure and rebuild all of this, and everyone was excited about it, and they were talking about all of the beauty of this temple and all of the great majesty of the structure. And Jesus, as I said in Sunday school this morning, Jesus came in, and his message was not always positive. I want you to know that about Jesus. Now, ultimately, God loves us. Ultimately, we read at the end that we're going to look up one day and he's going to come with great power and glory. So we have read the end of the book. We know how the chapter ends. We know how all of this ends, which is why we don't have to be fearful today, by the way. But I want you to know that when Jesus on his earthly ministry would speak, he would oftentimes suck the oxygen out of the room with what he said. He would take, as I said this morning in Sunday school, great social risk. He would do things that everybody would go, I can't believe he did that. You would think, oh, the Son of Man, he would just be always positive and always loving and kind. But at this time, as they're all talking about the temple and saying, wow, this is amazing, and oh, this is awesome, Jesus said, yeah, you just wait. In 3 days' time, it's all going to be torn down. Wow, what a killjoy. Wow, what a negative statement. And his disciples said, what about this? What's the message you're trying to send? And he began to prophesy of something that would take place very shortly after his ascension, his resurrection and his ascension to heaven. You see, just a few years later, about 35, 40 years later, they would come in and the Gentiles would ransack and destroy and absolutely desolate the city of Jerusalem. They would tear down the temple. They would destroy many of their precious religious artifacts, and they would bring great chaos to the city. And so Jesus is prophesying and prophetic in what he's saying, but actually what we read today has already happened almost 2,000 years ago. I want to say just by way of introduction that there is nothing new under the sun. And this whole business of coronavirus and the stock markets and the Bible says all of this fearful sights and great signs and earthquakes and famines, it's all happened before, and God knows about it. And God knew about this before it ever happened. And God knows about what's happening in your life. You say, well, he knows about all these great international and global catastrophes, but he doesn't care about me. No, the God of heaven cares so much about you. The Bible says that he has every hair of your head numbered. For some of you, that was more difficult than it was others. But God is taking care of us today. God is caring for you this morning. And I want to say, if we could look at some of these verses, that there is no better passage of Scripture, or no better section, if I could say it that way, to look at than what Jesus said. Some of you might in your Bible today have these letters in red. That simply indicates those are the words of Jesus during his earthly ministry, and that's why they're indicated in red. I want you to go back to verse number 9 with me, if you would. And I just want to point some things out down through the text And we'll explain some of the timeline because he jumps suddenly from his prophecy of AD 70 all the way into the end times when the rapture will take place, great tribulation will happen, and then Jesus will come back to rule and reign on this earth. And ultimately, we as believers, if you know Jesus today, if you're saved by the blood of Christ, if you have faith in God today unto salvation this morning, I can tell you that we are going to rule and reign with him forever. And that's going to be an exciting day, but I want to explain some of that as we go along. And I just want to point out four simple things about this passage of Scripture and what we can do today to leave this place or maybe turn off the radio after the sermon is over and go from listening to the Word of God being proclaimed and say, now I know what to do. Don't you just love it when God puts the cookies on the bottom shelf? And he says, anyone can understand this. I'm here to tell you today, if you say, well, I just don't get a lot of this, you're going to be able to understand this today. It will not be difficult this morning. I want you to notice, number one, in verse 9, it says, when you hear of wars and commotions, those three words, we said them together earlier, say them one more time, please, be not terrified. Say it one more time, be not terrified. I would like to suggest this morning that we be fearless in this world. So why can we be fearless? We can be fearless not because of our own strength and power, but because of the hope that lies within us today. I want to say this morning that if you have at some point in time in your life called upon the name of the Lord, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've called unto God and said, God, I can't do this on my own. I'm powerless in my own circumstances and for my own eternity, and I'm calling upon you to forgive me and to come into my life, I can tell you with all certainty today that if you had faith to call on God for that reason, that today you're a child of God. And if you never have today, make today the day. Don't wait any longer. I think if anything this week has taught us is that life is fragile and we're not promised tomorrow. What is your life? It is but a vapor that appears in the air for just a moment and then vanishes away. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. It's an amazing thing. I had a pastor text me this morning and say, please, please, please pray for us today. We're going through great attack and our lives have been turned upside down just in one day's time. And may I say, we are not promised what tomorrow may look like, but we are promised that though we know not what tomorrow holds, we know who holds tomorrow. And that is the hope that we have as God's people. We can be fearless, the text tells us. We can be fearless in fearful days. So in fearful days, be not terrified. When we hear of wars and commotions, I tell you, we hear a lot about that today. It's happened before. God has brought the human race through many, many seasons of wars and commotions. And may I say this morning that in fearful days, be not terrified. In uncertain days, verse number 10, when nation rises against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and everybody says, oh, what about my 401k? And what about the stock market? And what about coronavirus? And what about all of the things that I had planned? And what about my trip that I had planned for next week? And what about the peace and quiet that I had planned for next week until school was canceled? And then what about all of those different things? No, listen, in uncertain days, when we don't know what next week is going to hold, be not terrified. In apostate days, the Bible says in verse number 8, Jesus tells his disciples, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. And Jesus said, go ye not therefore after them. I have never in my lifetime, not a very long lifetime, but I have never in my lifetime seen such a day of apostasy in the sense that we are being told that any type of form of godliness or form of religion, it's all good. Can I tell you, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to salvation. Look, there is no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ and him alone. And I don't care what other false god you choose to place your trust in. It may be some mystical type of false god of another religion. It may be Buddha. It may be Allah. It may be all of the many thousands of Indian gods, but none of them are going to get you to heaven. Straight is the way. Narrow is the gate. It may be the god of money. It may be the god of your security, of your home. It may be the god of your possessions. You say, nothing can get to me. I'm secure. I've planned for this. Can I tell you this? The Bible says that a man will plan his way, but God will direct his steps. And it could be that God directs you immediately tomorrow into a place that you said, I thought I had this covered. I thought I had this taken care of. Hey, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Trust in God today. In fearful days, be not terrified. In uncertain days, be not terrified. In apostate days, be not terrified. I want to say, in chaotic days, be not terrified. Verse 11, great earthquakes shall be in divers places. Famines and pestilence, fearful sights and great signs shall be from heaven. Maybe you went to the grocery store this week to buy hand sanitizer or Clorox or, God forbid, toilet paper. Yeah, I said it. I was telling our Sunday school class today, and you just have to bear with me because I like telling stories, but true stories. But anyway, I was going to Walmart. I've been to Walmart, and y'all pray for me, at least 3 to 5 times this week. The number keeps growing. It feels like a lot more than that. And we live just around the corner from there. And after the first time, by the way, anytime I have to go, it's always like, oh, what a burden. But after about the 3rd or 4th time, I said, I can't wait to go to Walmart today. I haven't watched TV in weeks. I just go to Walmart. It's entertaining. And I walk in on one on the right side of the store, and I walk all the way over to the clearance aisle, and I walk through that and buy all of the non-essentials right there, okay? And then I walk out, and I walk around, and I hit the technology and all of that, and there's people buying still all of the technology. The TVs, oh, man, the sales are great and everything, and so they're going in to get that. But then you hit the grocery section, and, man, it's like all chaos breaks loose. You couldn't find a bag of rice in Walmart 3 days ago. You couldn't find a roll of toilet paper. You couldn't find anything. I mean, people were walking out with their carts full of things that I said, it's a respiratory virus, not Chipotle. Help us now, okay? Help us, please. More people listening than ever before, and I'm saying this today, of all things. But you know what? Sometimes when the chaos starts, we get sucked into the chaos, don't we? And we go, oh, I gotta do this too. Everyone else is doing it. No, listen, in chaotic days, when the next day you turn on the news and it's the stock market, and the next day it's coronavirus, and the next day it's impeachment or whatever it is, over and over and over again, outrage and chaos. The Bible says in chaotic days, be not terrified. I want to say this, in painful days, be not terrified. Verse number 12. But before all these, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. That's what Christians will be known for, he was saying. That's how my people will be known. They'll be known for being criminals. It's just going to be your testimony. It's going to be your reputation. The Bible says, in painful days, when betrayal takes place, when hardships happen, when unexpected things come into your life, be not terrified. The number one admonition I have for us this morning is be fearless. That's not to say be dumb. That's not to say be irresponsible. That's not to say to go out and to buy into the chaos and be prepared. I'm saying today we have nothing to be afraid of, because no matter what comes our way, we know who's in control. And I would say to you this morning that today is the day where Christians ought to be the calm ones, because it ought to be in our lives that the peace that passeth all understanding will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And if someone says, oh, what do you think about this? You ought to be able to look at them and say, hey, listen, I know what's going on. I'm not downplaying it, but I'm just telling you, I'm not worried, because God is in control. God is still on the throne. Hey, he's still on the throne, so what could be wrong? Hey, there's all kinds of things wrong. Yeah, but not in God's economy. I mean, look at the bright side. Gas is $1.60 in Henderson. Look at the bright side. Now is the time to buy plane tickets. Look at the bright side. Ultimately, God is still on the throne. Be fearless. Secondly, this morning, verse 13 says, verse 14 says, settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. I don't want to confuse you. I kind of gave you some ideas of things that you could say. What he was talking about was, for instance, when Paul would be brought before Agrippa and Festus, and when Paul would be brought before the magistrate, and he would proclaim the word of God with power to them. Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to say, for I will give you a word of wisdom. What does that mean for us this morning? Well, first, we ought to be fearless. Secondly, we ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit, the Bible says. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. A heart that is filled with the Spirit doesn't have to go memorize a script, but a heart of God, or of God's people rather, that is filled with the Spirit can suddenly walk into great and chaotic and fearful days and say exactly what needs to be said. You've got to be prayed up. You've got to be read up on the Word of God. God's Word, as the trio sang just a moment ago, it still changes lives today. That's why we're in the literal Word of God today. What Jesus said, what God left for us, what God divinely inspired and preserved for us to take today. And this is not just ink on a page, folks. These are the living, breathing words of God. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Number one, be fearless. Number two, be filled with the Spirit. Number three, be firm. Be firm. Look at verse 19. We read this earlier, and I emphasized it vocally, if you will. But I'd like for you to read verse 19 out loud together with me. Ready? Begin. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Say it one more time. In your patience, possess ye your souls. The Bible says a lot about patience. The Bible says that the trying of our faith, it works patience in our lives. It develops us into more patient, understanding people, non-reactionary people, people who are understanding of the severity and concerning times that the severe and concerning times that we live in, but people who say, I'm just going to wait and see what God does here. Here's what this verse is telling us. It's saying, be steady in your patience as we're waiting for God to reveal what His ultimate plan is in our trial. The Bible says, possess ye your souls. John Gill gave a great explanation of that. It simply means to be patiently bearing all afflictions, reproaches, indignities and persecutions. Enjoy yourselves, he said. Let nothing distress or disturb you. Possess the peace and joy in your souls, which the world cannot take away. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Margaret Thatcher once said to George H.W. Bush, as she was being kind of downplayed and pushed out of the global scene, she was a great friend to our President Ronald Reagan and a very influential person, and people were beginning to take her less seriously. And then one day, the issue in Kuwait took place in 1990, and Saddam Hussein invaded. And she looked at our president, it's alleged, and said, remember, George, this is no time to go wobbly. Neither is now. This is no time to be fearful. This is no time to go wobbly. I'm going to start telling my kids that. This is no time to go wobbly. It's no time to be fearful. Be firm. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's amazing. As a pastor, I may not always have a paycheck, but I'll always have a job, because there always needs to be someone who preached the Word of God. As a Christian, you may not get paid to do what you're called to do, but you'll always have a job. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We don't have time to go there this morning, but we're going to anyway. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Find your place there with me very quickly. We'll make some application after we finish this point today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and this is a great passage that I think you should read the entire thing. In verse 7, he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Notice what Paul says. We are troubled on every side. That may be your testimony this morning, but look at his response. Verse 8. Yet not distressed. This was the man who was thrown in prison, who was stoned, three times. He said, we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Isn't it amazing to know as a Christian, you may not know what to do, and you can still have the peace of God? Verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in your body. For we which are alive, we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest, there's that word again, in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. A lot of inspiring words there. I would draw your mind to two particular phrases. The Bible says that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Do you know what trials and hardship and perplexing situations and persecutions give us the opportunity for? It gives us the opportunity to show Jesus through our lives. That word manifest means to reveal. And the Bible says that those who suffer hardships and painful experiences in their life, God can use them to manifest Christ through their mortal bodies, their mortal flesh. But why? Well, that's found in verse 15. It says here, all things are for your sakes. Isn't that amazing? All things are for our sake. So I can't see how this works out for my benefit. Well, it's for your sake that God is doing this. Not so you can have an easy life. Not so that you can have everything paved the way and life on a silver platter. But it says that through thanksgiving of many, that it will redound to the glory of God. The greatest thing that a Christian can be is one who glorifies God. The Bible says that sometimes perplexing things happen to that end. Go back to our text and we'll finish this morning. I want to remind you that Paul said, halfway through the book of Philippians, finally. And so we may be halfway done today, I'm not sure. But very briefly today, in verse 25, I want you to see how the tune changes. It says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. There's that word again. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking for those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And by that, I believe he's speaking about the stars and the moon and the sun, the physical things that we see. But in verse 27, it says, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now we're talking about what's yet to come. And the next prophetic event on God's timetable is the second coming of Jesus Christ. These crises don't serve to teach us anything more than they serve to teach us the fact that Jesus really is coming again. And to teach us that with great urgency, we must believe that because it could be today. So what do we do? Four things. We recognize verse 31. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. He's coming again. We believe that he's coming again. Verse 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The only thing that will last is the word of God, and it will continue to change lives. Number three is found in verse 34. I like this verse, and it's so important for us today. It says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. What's God teaching us here? Don't get caught up in the world. Don't get caught up in the world. Hey, if you stocked up on all the supplies this week, I'm not against that. I'm not rebuking you, but I'm just telling you right now, don't be caught when the trumpet sounds worrying about this down here. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour, not the Son, but the Father only. And I'm just telling you today, we may not know the day, but we know it's coming. And so we live every day as if it could be today. And it could be that before this service ends, the trumpet will sound and Christ will return for his own. Number four, what do we do? It all leads to this, verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Say, well, what are we going to do about all this? Watch for the coming of Christ and pray. Watch for the coming of Christ and pray. Watch for the coming of Christ and pray. Hey, let me say it again. Watch for the coming of Christ and pray. Today, our president has declared this day to be a day of prayer, national day of prayer. And so as we conclude our service this morning, we conclude it differently. Although we always finish with prayer, we understand today that the Bible says that casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. We are called today, not first as Americans, but first as Christians, to pray for our nation and to pray for God's people and to pray for the lost. And today we're going to end this service with prayer because that's what God tells us to do. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Brother Sam Combs, are you in the room today? Could you come, please? And Brother David Chamberlain, could you come to the platform today, please? And Brother Joe Chambers, could you come to the platform, please?